I want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost right now. I want every fivefold minister, every pastor in this church tonight, if you are a visiting pastor, evangelist, prophet, if you are a fivefold minister, would you please get out of your chairs quickly, come to the front, come from the overflows, come here. Those of you watching online, type in your pastor's name. Quickly, online, type their name, your church name, your pastor's name. Quickly type it in there. Quickly. I feel the kabot glory of God coming upon ministers of the gospel tonight. You're going to go back to your churches this Sunday and a revival is going to take place. A move of the Holy Ghost is going to come. Come on. Shoka talabaraman delebe sota rabaka talabasam dalabaraman delebe samba. Every fivefold minister, just come. When you get to the front, just lift your hands. There is a mantle of revival that's going to come upon you tonight. The inauguration of revival, or ministers of revival, shall take place tonight. I literally see how angels are moving amongst you and giving you the scepter, giving you the mantle of revival. Jesus, I want to ask this, just take this out of it. If you are outside of Johannesburg, if that is you, just want to make sure. Then I want you, just raise your hand. Where are you from? Where? Soweto. Good. Anyone else? Cape Town? Yeah. Come up on the platform. Shabramande Lebesoto. Lekataya, lift your hands. A mantle of the Shekinah presence of God upon you. Greater levels of miracles. Greater levels of the power of God in the ministry. Encounter Kata. And I declare tonight that when you leave this conference, that there will be a mantle of the kabot presence of God upon your life. Even right now, upon your wife, upon that whole congregation, the leadership, everything that's attached to you. Lord, let a thick mantle of power, of miracles, of enlargement fall upon him. Father, I thank you that tonight, even his voice will change. Even his mind will change. Even the authority shall change, Father. And I declare and decree over you a fresh encounter with the great I am. There will be nights that you will not be able even to sleep because of the encounters you'll have with God. And people will be drawn to that place. As you stay humble in my presence, says the Lord, I will exalt the ministry. And in your hands will be flames of fire and miracles, signs and wonders. And I release it upon your life right now. Let the thrust of the Spirit of God come. In Jesus' name. Soweto, come, stand here. Upon Soweto, we pray a revival, O God. Come on, how many of you believe with it? Lord, we open those stadiums in Soweto. In the name of Jesus, we declare, Father, churches to erupt in Soweto. Mega churches. Bring a revival amongst the churches. Father, upon this man of God tonight, we release the power of God, the anointing of God, of increase, multiplication. Let the spirit of revival touch him in a very significant way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands, men of God. Sobra, lift your hands. Let the fire of God fall. Let the fire of God fall. Let the fire of God fall. Fall. Sharabaka. Rokoto. Skokara. Sharabaka. In Jesus' name. Let the fire of God come. In time, move of the Holy Ghost upon your life. In the name of Jesus. Let him be a carrier of the end time revival, O God, in his sphere of influence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Jesus. A minister of flame. A minister of revival, O God, in the name of Jesus. Raise him up, let the mantle fall, the fresh mantle, new mantle of God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Son of Abakataya, Pastor Chris, Shakaramamamamandaya, a weight of the presence of God, a weight of the glory of God, weight of the anointing of God. Pastor Allen, a weight of the kibbutz, weight of the presence, weight of his presence, a weight of the presence of God. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship him. Shakatala barabakatala mandorobo shakatala. Weight of the presence. Weight of the presence. Weight of the presence. Weight of the presence. Shakatala barabababa. Shakatala barabababa. Shakatala barabababa. We praise your name, Jesus. Jesus. Just lift your hands quickly. Everyone in this building overflows, lift your hands. I declare that every delay upon your life in the next 24 hours will shift. And I declare that there will come unexpected breakthroughs upon your families. Prayers you did not even pray to come forth. Miracles from the north, south, east, and west to manifest upon your children, upon your families, upon your life. Lord, we now place a demand in the name of Jesus. I appropriate the anointing of 24-hour breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Now give God some praise in this place. Come on. Praise him for your miracle. Somebody shout, my miracle is here. Hallelujah. Woo. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. I will not be surprised that even right now, emails are coming forth, and WhatsApps are coming forth, and sons and daughters are coming back, and families are being restored. I declare it. Let the angel go forth and do it, O God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that miracles will start taking place in this house tonight. People have come for it. An expectation for miracles. And we thank you as the word of God goes forth. That faith will rise in the hearts of every single person. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So pray for you. Hallelujah. Tell two or three people, I'm going to get my miracle tonight. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. God bless you. The Lord. Well, it's great to be here tonight. Amen. It's good to see you all here tonight, friends and family. And it's such an honor to be amongst the prophet of Africa. Amen. I love you, man. Praise God. Come on, you have a great man of God. I want to say and re-emphasize what I said last night under the anointing of God is that I really believe that you are going to see a very strong apostolic thrust coming in from next year upon your man of God. Great prophet, but he's a great pastor, incredible teacher of the word of God, great evangelist, and God has been forming him in the fivefold ministry. And it's an honor to know you. I love you very much. Respect you. And it's just amazing how God forms relationships. And I just love that in the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you ready for tonight? All right. I want every one of you to quickly do me a favor. Those of you watching online, here in the building, the overflows. We're coming to you in a couple of minutes, overflows. But I want you to do me a favor. Don't you want to share the feed with somebody? Just go on to YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching from, and tell the people it's miracle night. And whatever miracle they need, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it is spiritual, God's going to do miracles tonight in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you for a couple of minutes on miracles and why we need to demonstrate miracles. It's very important that we understand why we do this and don't just come to church expecting anything, but we need to be activated. So tonight, and my assignment in my life is to activate people in the supernatural. And I know that you are, but I want you to go to the realm of miracles. And that we go and heal the people, you know, and do miracles for people. This hospital here, I don't know what they call it now, Potter Kraal Hospital, I remember it, William Branham walked in there and he would clear the whole section. Pray for one person and when he walks out, everybody walks out with him. And I believe that same anointing and mantle is here. It's going to happen. God's going to activate. Hallelujah. Softly. I want to address the remnant tonight, and it's been a message in my heart that God has birthed many years back, that there is a remnant that's going to rise up. And when I started preaching about this 5-6 years ago, you know, I was just pushing into the realm of, you know, there must be a generation that's different. And the word remnant means, in the Hebrew, it's got a lot of different meanings. It means chosen one, for instance. Many are called, but few are remnant. You understand? A remnant means a survivor, another meaning. You've survived. Everyone in this building, watching online, survived COVID. So you are the remnant. You have survived attacks. You have survived retrenchments. You have survived all those things. You survived. You are a remnant. Say, I'm remnant. So it has become such a real message to me to speak to the remnant, because you are truly the survivors of all the attacks that have taken place. But there is another definition of the word remnant, and it means supernatural breed. Supernatural breed. It's like when you breed with dogs. There's a special kind of breed there. Now, you're not dogs, but I'm saying that's what the word means. It's a special breed of people. They are not the same, and they don't look the same. They don't sound the same. They are different than the rest. And when I came here last night, I realized I'm in the company of a group of remnant people that are different. They look different. They sound different. You know what's the biggest revival that I've seen in my lifetime? Is that so many white people can make so much noise. I normally get this in my African churches. So I'm surrounded with some remnant people. Different. They do things, and here's some characteristics of a remnant before I get into the main thrust of the message. But I want to lay this as an introduction. They do things differently. That's the first sign of a person that's called a remnant. He does things differently. Noah did things differently than anybody else in his generation. Enoch did something else that no one else did. They do extraordinary things. Their achievements are extraordinary. Their faith, number two, their faith is different. They don't have mustard seed faith. They have mega faith. When the prophet says we're going to build, their faith is there. That's the remnant. The third thing about a remnant is that their worship is different. They sound different. They worship different. They get on their knees. They're not afraid and ashamed of people around them. And their giving is different. Number four. They don't give little money. They give big money. They're the master of money. Money is not their master. And so there is a remnant that I'm addressing in this building online that God is going to equip tonight to do extraordinary miracles for His kingdom. Come on, how many of you believe that with me? Now, I had the privilege as a remnant to preach in a Catholic church. Can you believe it? Of all places. They invited me to go and preach in a Catholic church, and I thought by myself, they must have the wrong guy. And I accepted it. Sure enough, I was the right guy. I came there, and the priest or the father got me before the service, took me to his office. Mary is there. Paul is there. He's got his robe on. And he said to me, I'm going to take you on to this part of the on this pulpit. And there you're going to stand. Please don't move away from there. Just stand there. Don't touch the table. So I'm going through the whole ritual. And then the procession started. I walked in with him. And so I'm going in now, going to preach. Here's what I did. I prepared a very motivational message. Because in my mind, he's like, I need to have this door open. No gift of the Holy Ghost. Nothing. Just going to be very, very seeker sensitive. So I go there. I thank them. I start preaching. I actually spoke about the seven doors of blessings. And now that was probably the wrong message, because my mantle is to speak about the blessings of God and the favor of God. So the anointing will just increase. But I thought that's a good message for them all, for this bunch of Catholic people. So I got up there, Pastor Chris, started speaking. In about 10, 15 minutes into the message, I heard the wings of a dove. Like that. Like flapping. In my mind, I'm thinking, not tonight. But no. Holy Ghost, fly somewhere else. Just let this, you're just, yeah. And I hear, and the next moment I felt how the dove arrived in that building, in that Catholic place. I looked at the father. I said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, father. I walked out from behind the pulpit. I said, I have to tell you something. That the Holy Spirit has come. I said, and you don't have to be afraid of him. Because in the upper room where the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost, on the 120, and I asked him this, did you know that Mary was there? The mother of Jesus? So they looked at me like, ah. I said, she was there. And guess what? She was filled with the Holy Ghost. And if it's good for Mary, it must be good for you. So, I mean, they were just like, no, that's awesome. And then, I don't know if you know revival histories, but there was a revivalist from South Africa. They called him Mr. Duplessis. And they called him actually Mr. Pentecost. Very powerful man of God. He used to preach to the Pope. Saint Paul the Second, he preached to him, and he touched him very powerfully under the anointing of God. And then the Pope asked him this. He says, do you obey Mary? He says, every day of my life. And I remember that story. And he said, really? He said, yes. He says, how do you do that? He said, Mary said to the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So I'm just doing what the mother of Jesus did. So I'm standing with that Catholic church. Holy Ghost is there. Presence of God is thick in that place. I said, now you have to go. Now we're going to see him demonstrate himself. And I said to them, if you are sick in your body, I want you to come to the front. I believe God's going to touch you tonight. Those Catholic people started standing up. They lined up like this. Like they're getting communion. I told them, no, you have to stand this way. So they all lined up like this. I looked over the audience and I spotted a big man. I said, sir, would you please come and stand behind them? So he asked me, he says, for what? I said, no, if they fall, just put them softly on the ground. It's like speaking a different language. He looks at me like, okay. But I knew the Holy Ghost is there. And I said, close your eyes. I said, lift your hands. They lift their hands. And I prayed the prayer of miracles. And the power of God came. The first woman I walked up to, I said, what's wrong with you? She says, my back. I've got a back condition. Laid my hands on her back. The power of God came on her. She fell. That man just like, what's going on? His eyes are big like this. Went to the next one. I said, what's wrong with you? I'm deaf. Prayed for her. Put my fingers in her ear. When that ear opened, that whole place was no longer Catholic. They were like Encounter Church. Huh? And I said to him, that is the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you're ready for the Holy Ghost tonight. If God can do it for Catholic people, he's going to do it for you tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, I looked to my left, so I wanted to lay my hands on the next person, about 3-4 people from me. The woman fell under the power of God. No catcher. She falls there. Power of God's on her. Maybe one or two women from her. Another one falls. When I got to them, the joy of the Lord hits them. Prophet, I'm thinking by myself, Holy Ghost, of all the manifestations, send gold, send something else. Why laughter? Why joy? She was going crazy. And I mean, that service was out of my hands. And the next moment, the father walks to the front, stands right there. I'm thinking, oh. I said, yes, sir. He says, I've got glaucoma on my eyes. Pray for me. Power of God, sir. Come on, I'm telling you, that same Holy Ghost right here. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost is going to your home. It's going to your family members tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And so I prayed for him. And he called me 2 days later. He says, come and see me. I went there. I actually really thought that I'm now under ban for the rest of my life. Takes out the report of his doctor. He says, look at this. No glaucoma on my eyes. Completely healed. I'm telling you, that's what God is going to do tonight. He's going to do it to your families. I am 100% convinced that we serve a God that still does miracles in today. It's not a day of miracles. It's the God of miracles. Amen. And so I want to help you here on the subject of miracles. So what is a miracle? Let's define a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God into impossible circumstances of man. And say it again. What is a miracle? The question. The definition, the answer is this. It's a supernatural intervention of God into the impossible circumstances of a man. So if you face impossible situations tonight, you are the candidate for a miracle. You are at the right place tonight for a miracle. Every miracle is a demonstration of the love of God. It's amazing to see how God demonstrates not his power for miracles, but his love for people. He loves you, therefore he wants to heal you. Miracles, prophet, is the easiest thing. Like you prophesy to people, it's the easiest thing. So for me, miracles is the easiest thing. Miracles is not difficult. It's easy. Very easy. So this is how miracles work. Just like you give your sin to Jesus and he gives you salvation. You give your poverty to Jesus. He gives you prosperity. You give your sickness to him. Gives you healing. Some of you need a miracle tonight in your marriage. Some of you need a miracle tonight in your heart. You've been hurt. You've been disappointed. You are discouraged. Don't know where the next thing is going to come. That's why you are here, because the supernatural. The word supernatural means above and beyond. The natural says there's no way. The natural says it's impossible. The natural says there's no way out. That's natural. Natural says you have 20 years to pay off your home loan. 5 years to pay off your car. Natural. When the supernatural intervenes, it takes time out of the equation. And God says, I'm going to remove the pain, remove the hurt, remove the shame, remove all that stuff, and give you a brand new life. I'm speaking to somebody here tonight. Let me tell you, God is healing you right now of a broken heart, of a discouragement, of a disappointment. No counselor can do what Jesus can do in 1 minute. Amen. We serve a supernatural God. I don't serve a historic God. If we remove the supernatural from the church, we are just a club. We are just another religion. There is no Muslim that goes to his mosque expecting a blind eye to see, or a deaf ear to open, or somebody to speak in tongues. No Jew, no Catholic, no Buddhist. I'm respecting all of them, but it's just a religion. The thing that makes Christianity different is that we have the Holy Ghost. We have the supernatural. We have the ability of the Most High God. If you call upon the name of the Lord, He will hear you, answer you, and do a miracle for you. Hallelujah. So how does a miracle happen? Quickly. I want to pray for you. There are three things required for a miracle. Number one, you must respond to a miracle. You have to respond to the call. I've prayed for, I won't say millions, but I think I'm very close to millions of people. Some people get miracles, some not. Some people, the reason why, I believe they don't have faith, obviously, but also they don't respond. They don't respond to the anointing that's flowing. So you have to learn to respond. Number two, you must receive your miracle by faith. Even if you don't feel anything, by faith you receive and say, thank you, Jesus. It's my miracle. Now by faith you start living that miracle. And number three is you must act on the word of God. So act on the miracle. My dad, as you know, one of the greatest evangelists of old. I've learned a lot from him. I saw many miracles in his ministry. Eileen Vigus was the biggest miracle when he started off in ministry. A woman paralyzed for 12 years, completely paralyzed, and in a night of storms and of the tent was being ripped by the winds of the West Rand, that woman jumped out of that wheelchair and was completely healed. I saw in Mauritius how an ear was formed where there was no ear. No ear, just flesh. Ear formed. I've seen many miracles. And then I've learned a lot. There was a meeting with Reinhard Bonnke in Harare, 100,000 people. And my dad called up all the deaf, people who are deaf. And he prayed for the first little girl. I think she was about 10. She was born deaf and mute, couldn't speak. He prayed for her. Nothing happened. Nothing. He put her on the one side of the platform, took the next one. Prayed for that person. Deaf ear opened up. Called the next one. This was a young lady in her late 20s, also deaf and dumb, mute. Prayed for her. The deaf ears opened. She starts speaking. Faith rise in the field. He takes this 10-year-old, prays for her ears open, starts speaking. Faith works like that. That's why testimonies are so important. That's why we have to see a demonstration of the power of God. But how many of you know, excluding your church, that there are very few churches that operate in the supernatural power of God and where you see miracles? I don't even know when last people have seen miracles or demons just manifesting. It's not a norm in the church worldwide. And I believe in this end time revival, God's going to demonstrate Himself again through signs, wonders, and miracles. It must happen. Must happen. So let's see how far we can go with this. With this teaching. Why must the remnant, you, demonstrate the power of God? Number one, write down. We have to demonstrate the existence of God Himself. We have to demonstrate the existence of God. That's why we have to demonstrate signs, wonders, and miracles. In the Old Testament, God was known to the people, not by preaching, but by signs, wonders, and miracles. There's not a lot of Old Testament preachers. Am I right? It wasn't heavy preachers. John the Baptist was a preacher. maybe Elijah, but you don't see preachers. But God spoke to his people through signs and wonders and miracles. That's how they knew their God. Today we have too much preaching and too little demonstration of the power of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, in the Amplified, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please and to be satisfied to him. For whoever comes near to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Now, healing is as old as the Bible. The first healing that took place was when Abraham prayed for his maidservant. First miracle in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 20, where Abraham prayed to Abimelech's wife, and God healed her right there. The second miracle, well, so many miracles, but Exodus chapter 12 is a very powerful miracle of 3 million people healed at once. Not one feeble amongst them, not one toothache, nothing. All healed. And that's in Psalms 105 verse 37. It says this: he brought Israel forth with silver and gold. First manifestation. And there was not one feeble amongst them. Not one sick was amongst them. They were under the law, under the sacrifice of lambs. How much not more can we get our miracle tonight under the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ? Not a lamb, not a ram, but the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ. Healing is your legal right. Say this with me. Healing is my legal right. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 15 it says, and the Lord will take away all your sickness. How many sickness? And none of these evil diseases, COVID, which you know will be put upon you. So sickness is illegal in my body. I want you to say that. Say, sickness is illegal in my body. So if you are sick tonight or you have symptoms or whatever, it's illegal in your body. Right now, with the blood of Jesus, with the blood of the Lamb, you can exercise the authority of God and say, by the blood of Jesus, get out of my body. Here's the most amazing thing. You don't have to wait for me, because it's not an Old Testament priest that I have to go in. It's Jesus that has already won the prize. Receive your miracle right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The second thing is, why must we demonstrate the power of God? Is to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive. If we don't demonstrate signs, wonders, and miracles, we prove that he's not alive. He's the only one that's alive. I've just mentioned it now. You can go to all the graves of these great prophets, they're there. But if you go to Israel, you go to the grave there. We took a tour there just before COVID. We walked in there every time. I think I've done 5 tours already, taken them there. Every time when I walk into that grave and I turn around and I see the sign that says, he's not here, he is risen, I feel every time the power of God. He's alive. Come on, Jesus is our Lord and he's alive. He's risen. And let me tell you this, every time we pray for a person who's sick and they get healed, we are demonstrating Jesus is alive. So why must I demonstrate? To prove that my Savior is alive. You cannot deny the fact when somebody gets healed that Jesus showed up in that situation. I remember how Benny Hinn spoke about a Muslim, he preached in India, And the Muslim came up with his wife and his daughter. And he came up while he was preaching. Came up. He says, excuse me, but you say your Lord, Jesus, the prophet, is still alive. He says, prove it. He says, my wife's got cancer. My daughter's got an incurable disease. She's bleeding. She was wrapped in like blankets. And he had, he was walking on crutches. He had steel braces on him. Benny Hinn said this. He says, he turned around and says, God, it's not my reputation. You show them that you are alive. And he says, God of the great I am, demonstrate yourself to this people right now. He says, when he looked, they all fell under the power of God. He says, the ushers picked him up. This guy took off the braces, starts walking, he starts dancing, starts running. He takes his daughter, took the blankets off, the bleeding stopped, and that man fell on his knees, repented, and accepted Jesus Christ. Why must we demonstrate the power of God? To show Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Oh, Philip goes and he says, comes to Jesus and he questions Jesus. And he says, you say, you know, we must, how will we know if the Father is with you? And Jesus turned around to him. He says, if you don't believe that the Father is with me, see what I do. The deaf hear, the blind see, the cripples walk. John even does the same thing. He says, I want to know if he's truly the Messiah. And Jesus didn't send a message. He didn't send a sermon. He didn't send an offering. He didn't send a YouTube link. He said, go and tell John. The lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the cripples are walking. Come on, the dead are being raised. That same anointing is coming upon Encounter Church. The remnant is being activated tonight for miracles. I wish I had 100 people that can shout hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Put your hands together and give Him a praise for miracles. Hallelujah. I've got 10 points, but I'm going to close at number 3. Because I want to pray. I feel faith is here. Why must we demonstrate the power of God? We must demonstrate to show that Satan is defeated, dethroned, and disarmed. To say it again, every time somebody gets healed, we are demonstrating, Satan, you are disarmed, dethroned, and you have no power over the circumstance. So I'm here on an assignment with you as the remnant to come into the place where when we enforce the devil's defeat. We are making a public spectacle of Him through signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm calling the Church of Jesus Christ back around South Africa. Become again the Church of the Supernatural. Become again the Church of the Holy Ghost, South Africa. Become again the Church of power and of a demonstration of the God you claim that you serve. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, you've probably heard the testimony of the greatest miracle that that R.W. Schambach have seen. And I want to share this with you because it's building your faith. R.W. Schambach was under the ministry of A.A. Allen. And A.A. Allen did a miracle service like this in Birmingham in America. And in the city there. And the first night, a lady came. She saw R.W. Schambach. And she said to him, I need prayer for my child. He's 4 years old. He's got 26 incurable diseases. 26. Now, in those days, they would write down all the miracles of what's the problem, give it to the man of God, he will read it, and then pray for the people. He said to her, he says, ma'am, fill the form in. She fills it in. She writes everything down. And he takes it and he says, the man of God will pray for you. He keeps the card in his pocket. The first night came, A.A. Allen doesn't pray for her. Second day, Monday, they had three services during the day. The mornings, like R.W. Schambach and other men of God would preach faith, and in the evenings they would have the miracle service. So she sits in all three services. She gives in every service. That night, man of God walks on the platform, prays for everybody, doesn't call her out. By Friday, she said to R.W. Schambach, I have to get a miracle. I've been sitting in three services every day. I'm at my last now. Tonight, this afternoon, I'm eating my last meal. I've only got $20 on me. And then I'm going, and he hasn't prayed for me. And he says, ma'am, I promise you, if he doesn't pray tonight for you, I will take your child to his caravan, but he will pray for you. I put my faith with him. He comes into the meeting. A.A. Allen walks on the meeting, and the first thing he does is he receives a seed faith offering. He says, this is not an offering, just a normal offering. You must put faith in this offering. It must cost you something. He says, the first woman out of 3,000 people in the tent, a woman in the back jumps up, and R.W. Schambach sees, he says, that's that woman. She comes to the front. She puts her money on the stage. He looked at it and he sees $20. He says, I know that's her last. She doesn't have anything left. Well, she told him, I've only got $20 left. A.A. Allen receives the offering. Gets behind the pulpit. As he got behind the pulpit, the gift of the prophet kicks in. And he says this, I see myself in a hospital. I'm actually hearing babies screaming. See, I'm in a nursing ward. I see newborn babies. What's happening there? Oh, 12 doctors standing around a baby. These 12 doctors are now discussing this baby's condition. You see, 14, 15, 19, 21, 26 incurable diseases. I see this woman and a friend in a car, a Ford, with a bassinet at the back, with the child in the back, driving on the highway, on the I-75. I see you take the off-ramp to Birmingham. I see you drive through the streets. I see you drive onto a property. Yes, that property is the tent. You are in this building. Bring your child. God is going to do 26 miracles right now. Come on, how many of you know this is powerful stuff? How many of you are ready for some miracles tonight? Calls the woman to the front. They bring this four-year-old child. The doctor said he will not live 1 month. He had a few heart conditions, liver conditions, kidneys. No, he couldn't see, couldn't hear. His tongue was out of his mouth. His elbows was in his stomach. His knees bent in to his stomach. No feet, stumps. Hands curled in like this. Brought him on the platform and he says, ma'am, God is about to do 26 miracles. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here right now. There's a mantle in this house of miracles. The first thing that happened was with this child, his eyes, where it was just like haze, right? They said it was like a whirlpool of water starts forming. And the next moment, brown eyes formed. He starts hearing. His tongue pulls back into his mouth. His arms starts getting loose. Legs coming up. They say when this miracle started happening, how God was reforming this child. That when it came to his feet, it was like clay. You know clay, Play-Doh? They looked at it and it's like Play-Doh coming out. And toes gets formed. Feet gets formed. Nails get formed. And this child jumps off. And he stood like on this platform. And he says, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. That is the God that proves that He is still alive. That He is still the Lord. Nobody can deny miracles when we operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. She took a child. That whole place erupted. At that night, on the left-hand side of the tent, was 12 people in wheelchairs. They say it was like a conductor of a band that just did this, and everybody, 12 people, jumped up simultaneously from their wheelchairs because there was faith in that place. Everybody stood up. On the right-hand side of the tent, 15 people on stretchers. Jump up, 15 people. Six totally, totally blind people that had to walk with canes with a red sticker around. Through their walking, what do you call that? Guide sticks away, and their eyes opened. They got 24 of eye glasses thrown off. Their earpieces, 12 earpieces, people just took them off. God that night, listen to this, healed everyone. I feel that same anointing can be in this house. That God can heal everyone of any type of disease. Why not? And that anointing is coming back in the church, prophet. It's coming back under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God is going to heal everybody. Not just one or two, but everybody. And God is going to make people prosperous one night in the name of Jesus. Come on, do you believe it with me tonight? I release the power of God. I release the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your servant today, Father. Lord, I release the power of miracles to flow in this whole place. Are you ready for your miracle? That woman said, just remain standing. Everybody, overflows everywhere. She said when she got back to her chair, a lady came to her and she greeted her. And she felt in her hand, there's a piece of paper. And she looked at it and she's like, a $20 note. Another woman came. Nobody knew she gave 20, but God gave it back. Another woman came, gave her $20. She says eventually, they were just coming. People were just coming, and every person gave her $20. She says eventually she couldn't greet the people. She just opened her purse and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. She walked away with $360. Just, all right, this is 1960 we're talking about, which is a lot of money. Was more than the whole conference money. For real, they testified how God blessed her. Because I believe this, that 26 miracles was activated by an offering. A gift of faith was released financially that opened that windows of heaven and brought forth a miracle.